Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I know how much you love quoting unnamed Romney advisors, so here's a Republican official familiar with your campaign selection process. Told the folks at Politico, you are looking for a, quote, incredibly boring white guy for your vice presidential nominee. Can you confirm or deny?
You told me you were not available, but you're not even
asking. Touché, Governor.
Good to go. We are here, we are live, and we are back. It is a Monday evening right here on Blog Talk Radio. You are watching, of course, Recent Row, right here live. It's August the 6th, 2012, 1 minute after the hour. And I guess I just got to get into it because, you know, look, it's a big story that happened over the weekend, and we cover the big stories as they happen. I, of course, give my own unique perspective because there are certain things that I noticed about this story. And, of course, we're talking about the shooting at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin. And there's only one way that I can look at this story, and that is to look at it for its bias, for its clear and utter bias. Now, we all know the story. We all know what happened. There are several reasons why it is being covered in the media the way that it's being covered. First off, the reason why the media is covering it the way that they're covering it, and when I say covering it the way they're covering it, I mean in contrast to the Aurora movie theater shooting. The first reason why is because the shooter is dead. He was shot and killed. So he's gone. There's nothing to sensationalize about the shooter. He's dead. So we can't really discuss him. There's not this in-depth analysis about who he was and where he was and what was he doing there and what's his problem and why is he a weirdo? Why does he carry guns? He's dead. There's no story to jump on there. So people, they've got to strain everything they can out of a little-known group of Sikhs. Now, it's tragic what happened to them at their temple, the grief that they're feeling. So I'm not here to rag on them. You know me. I could be a little brutal. I could be a little cruel and insensitive. Now, I'm known to be comedic at times. But that's not necessary. That group, I'll be honest with you, out of all the groups in the world, I don't really have a lot of beef with them here in the United States. There are probably a lot of problems with them in India. But the Sikhs in the United States, there's not a lot of beef to go around with those groups. I do know that there are certain outlets like CNN that are trying to drum up this whole how many Sikhs have been attacked since 9/11. That's a big thing they're bringing up. But it's got no traction. There's never been any overwhelming amount of Sikhs being attacked in any way being confused with Muslims. They're just not. Other than, I mean, if you really, really count those who have been attacked, you know that the people who have attacked Sikhs in this country because they thought they were Muslims is because Muslims are often referred to by those ignorant sons of bitches as towelheads. And Sikhs wear turbans. So because they wear turbans, they immediately associate it, because people don't know about the Sikh religion. Not that it's secretive, it's just, it's not very prominent in this country. So this particular guy, Wade, whatever his name is, I don't even want to talk about his name. He looked like a typical skinhead, you know, with a lot of tattoos. He sang in a white supremacist band. You know, he was a lunatic. He was a loser. He went after what I would consider probably one of the most peaceful groups in the country. I mean, besides the Hare Krishnas, which I believe is just a subsect of that religion. So, I mean, he went after, I mean, this is real cowardice. You know, and you're going to see, you know, that's how you can tell how cowardice really shows itself. It's when a guy like this goes after a Sikh group there at temple. It's a quiet thing. So there's really not much to talk about. But I want to get back on topic here about why is it that the media is not covering this story the way that they did the Aurora massacres. Well, of course, there were 58 people who were wounded. Not so much the case in this shooting in Wisconsin. But 6 people died, 7 including the shooter. But still, you know, a large loss of life, 1 mass shooting. The second reason why it wasn't covered, aside from the fact that the shooter's been killed, is because there's no sensationalism to be garnered from the Sikh community. Because they're not Muslim. They're not black. They're not Latino. They're Sikh. And because there's little known about them and little known about them in the public, they can't really profit from this. Oh, the Sikhs. Look at what's being done. There's not really much you can do about that. And these people are very prideful. They do not scream victimhood. They're not screaming that, oh, why does this keep happening to us? There's no real platform for them. So the media has got no angle on this. And so they're ignoring that factor. We're going to report the story. And the reporting on this has been extremely fair. Even though they found out this guy was a white supremacist, I've only seen 2 people in the media use the term far right. Far right extremists, to make it 3. Only two times I've heard it. 1 from CNN and 1 liberal contributor on Fox have used the word far right. Now, there are probably some others out there. They're probably going to find a way to. But you know what? There has not been enough concern from Americans, or as media would have it, the audience. They're not caught up in this. I got to be straight with you. There were some people over the weekend who saw this story and literally wanted to turn the channel. Disinterested. Didn't care. I know why. Because it wasn't a bunch of poor white kids sitting in a movie theater. It wasn't some black neighborhood in Alabama. It wasn't some small little town, you know, in El Paso, Texas, where a bunch of Latinos were killed. That's the reason why it garnered no interest. It's not selling. The media knows it's not selling. And that's tragic. Because the only time that you could sell a story is when you can promote gun control. And you can only promote gun control if the victims look like your audience. And you know that the 200,000 Sikhs who live in this country, that's not really a target audience. That's not really a group you want to reach out to as a media. You just don't. It's sad but true. The third reason why, all of the victims, with the exception of 1 woman, were all elderly men. I think there was 1 or 2 in their 40s, but a lot of them were in their 80s, 70s and 80s. Older men. Older Sikh men, 1 woman. Not enough to make victims or, you know, downtrodden. You know what I mean? It wasn't really, it's not a heartstring story. You got an 84, 85, 86-year-old man. Not much. Not much you can... You can't really squeeze a lot of juice out of that one. And you can't. And that's the reason why the story will go away. They're finding out some information about the shooter. And what did they find out? It was easy to find out. Once they got all the information, it wasn't like this James Holmes guy. James Holmes guy, this guy was secretive. Nobody knew him. Nobody had ever talked to him. He was a loner. There was a mystery surrounding him. There was a mystery surrounding him. This guy, this shooter, he was easy to look up. They looked this guy up like nothing. He was right there in the logs. Son of a bitch had an album out. Come on. Son of a bitch had a CD. He had a band.
He had an album out?
Yeah,
he had a band.
Yeah, he had a band. I mean, but I'm totally, you know what I mean? I say that in jest.
He didn't have an album out.
But you know what I mean? The guy was
he had a band.
Well, whatever. I'm pretty sure they dropped a couple of CDs.
He was a white supremacist.
With a band. I'm pretty sure he had a couple singles out. I'm pretty sure he had some records he was selling at the club. What do you want? He was easy to point out. The guy was all over the place. They showed a picture of him today in the news media, one of the latest pictures. It's a Facebook page. What makes me laugh is that this picture was on Facebook, and they didn't decide to take it down until after this whole massacre happened. But it's a picture of him younger, standing in front of a swastika flag, a Nazi swastika flag. That, now they've taken the picture down off Facebook. But it was there all of this time. Nobody knew. So I don't think that there's any other reason why the media wasn't extremely interested in this story, other than those. But it's pretty plain to see that there are key components that make people go, you know, that's a story I want to know everything about. I mean, you know, the Aurora massacre, we had to know about every single one of those victims. You knew everything about their lives. You wanted to talk to everyone who was there and who got hit with a bullet, who got caught with shrapnel, who had a baby inside, you know, who was pregnant, whether or not they enjoyed the movie. That's what they were doing. How much of the movie did you get to see? Do you think you'll go back and see it again? People weren't asking those questions during this one. It wasn't. They were asking people, like, what did you feel? Were you scared? Did you run? Real basic crap. But it's sad. But, you know, it's what to expect. So this story will get glazed over. And you would think, white supremacists, you know, the group that's supposed to be the most hated by the media, the most sought after by the media, white supremacy, racism, they love those stories. This would be a story that any news van they'd race across the country to get out to Wisconsin to go cover this story. But no, they barely moved on it. It was almost like they were forced to. They seemed bored, disinterested. And it'll be over before Wednesday. I'll put any amount of money on it. It'll be over before Wednesday. I think Wednesday is probably the last you'll hear this story, if not Thursday. I'm going to give it Wednesday, Thursday. This story is a wrap. Unless they find out something new. But I don't think that there's going to be any more coverage of this. Sad but true. But that's the state of our media today. So we take a break, as usual, and we'll be back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We've got plenty of other news, other views. We got to talk about Gabby Douglas' hair. Is she too nappy to be happy?
She needs a straightener. She got a kitchen.
We'll find out when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reason Radio.
He said, I am the Joker.
But once again, he was still walking into a movie theater that was showing the Batman.
So you're saying that this guy would have done what he has done, even if, like, Steel Magnolia was playing.
He just said, I'm the Steel Magnolia.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're a nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf, but they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
him. Does he dress like the chef? Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest fact. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop, and she's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bungled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We're back 20 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, 6th of August, 2012. Okay, I don't know if anybody got a chance to see this. I put this on Facebook. I'm hoping that someone got to see it, because I was shocked that he did it. Adam Smith, the former CEO, or CFO, I should say, of a company called Vanti Inc., in Tucson, Arizona. Now, he was the guy who harassed that poor girl, Rachel. Did we play the apology yet? JC, do you know if we played the apology yet? Is that JC there? JC?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Did we play the apology yet from Adam Smith?
That little half-ass apology from last week?
Yeah, but did we play it on the air?
I think you more so talked about it.
I don't think that we played it. Here, I want to play a little piece of it. This is, again, Adam Smith. He opened up a YouTube page and placed this apology to Rachel. There were some interesting things about this that I didn't know. Was that he actually went back to Chick-fil-A and tried to apologize to Rachel. And he explains how that went when he went down there. So take a listen. This is, again, Adam Smith, whose video went viral when he harassed Rachel, the Chick-fil-A drive-thru teller.
Hi, I'm Adam Smith. I have a few things to say, but I want to first and foremost say something to Rachel that I've been wanting to since the moment I spoke the words. Rachel, I am so very sorry for the way I spoke to you on Wednesday. You handled my frustrating rant with such dignity and composure. Every time I watch the video, I'm blown away by really the beauty in what you did and your kindness and your patience with me. You should know that I never plan to say the things I said to you that day and how I said them. I plan to peacefully participate in the August 1st YouTube post where Jackson Pierce asked people to simply order a large water to show support for the gay community. But when I got to your window, and after seeing all the people in and outside the restaurant that came to support Chick-fil-A, lost it. I just lost it. I couldn't believe the number of people came out to support a corporation that associates themselves with anti-gay groups like the Exodus International and the American Family Association. And how did I lose it? By making you listen to my frustration and disgust. And it wasn't right. And for that, I am so sorry. You should be very proud of how you handled the stressful situation. Great job. Wow. As you know, the morning after our drive-through meeting, I came to your store to see how you were doing. I was genuinely concerned for you. I felt so bad for you. But I totally understand why you didn't want to talk. I deserve the silent treatment. When you wouldn't meet, I went to my work to create an apology video, similar to the one I'm making now. And when I walked through the door of my company, I was told by my company to not create a video Don't write an apology. Don't speak to anyone. I was told to go radio silent and stay that way until I was told otherwise. I really didn't think that was the professional way to handle the situation. It's not the way I wanted to. But Devontae's defense, they were pretty panicked when they checked their voicemail and realized they had 300 voicemails and that was the capacity. And they had tons of hate mail, full emails, that were sent to our customers, their customers, and really horrible threats to the employees. It was a very sad and scary scene, so I get that. Later that same day, Thursday, the company decided it was most appropriate to fire me. Rachel, I'm sorry for treating you poorly. Not because I feared losing my job or even that I actually lost my job. I'm sorry for treating you so inhumanely because I compromised my personal integrity. While I might not agree with everyone's views, I want to always treat the other person with respect. I didn't do that with you. And now that I don't have a job, well, I'm free to make the apology I wanted to make in the first place.
So there you go. He's without a job. He's apologized. He's sorry. He wants everybody else to have an opportunity to give their opinion. He wants to treat people with respect. Now he does. So I don't know what to make of the guy. I mean, do I feel bad for him? Not really. It's a fact of life. You know, you got to pay for your actions. You do something stupid like that, you know. And what was the line that he said, Mary, after he... After she told him to have a nice day, he said something along the lines of, oh, I'm going to have a great day because I feel vindicated or I feel...
Yeah, I feel like it was something like, I'm going to have a great day because I feel so great with what I just did.
Yeah, he was so proud of himself. He was so proud of himself after he had done what he had done and he had taken some money from Chick-fil-A so they have less money to give to hate groups.
Wanted was a free water.
That's right. He felt so proud of himself by doing what he did. So, you know, hey, you reap what you sow, as they say. Oh, by the way, be sure to go to resetteradio.com so you can see our new picture. Compliments of JC, the producer, who put together our new terrorist flag. For the Rainbow Jihad, you have to log on to www.resunradio.com to see on the front page the new...
I didn't put that together. I found that, buddy.
You found that?
Yeah, I found that, buddy.
Are you kidding me?
No. I just don't want my name associated with it.
No,
I fear the Rainbow Jihad.
Get your hands dirty on this one, man. You only
my hands dirty.
You did it at the behest of me, but you did it. So if you want
I did it.
Go to Reese on the Radio on Facebook. You can see it there. Comments are coming in. Even my ex-wife has commented on it. I have no idea what she's talking about with Elton John, but that made no sense. Only coherent responses on my Facebook page there, ex-wife. Get it through your head. Now I'm starting to recognize the reason why you are an ex-wife. Sometimes you just don't make any sense.
Figure that out?
Well, sometimes you need more filler. Sometimes you know why you divorced someone, but then sometimes you just kind of get reconfirmation. But she left some weird message about Elton John on my Facebook page. I'd appreciate it if you knocked that off. Okay? It's a parody. And if they get offended, F them. I don't care that you think it's mean. It's meant to be mean. It's attacking them the way that they attack everyone else. So now we've officially referred to them as the Rainbow Jihad. So again, go to resunradio.com so you can check it out for yourself. It's a great, great.
well, everybody's planning on going to Starbucks tomorrow because Starbucks supports LGBT. So there's a big rage on Facebook about it.
Oh, is there a big rage about going to Starbucks?
Yeah.
Well, they won't receive any of my money, and are they, is Starbucks going to have a huge kiss in?
I don't know. Maybe they'll have more than that. You know, they have couches.
Oh, don't even gross me. Public sex of any kind is wrong. I don't care if it's gay or straight.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. It's great.
All right. Okay, enough. I don't even want to hear this.
Yeah, that is a beautiful crest, isn't it?
It is beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
Feel 54 is on his side.
that used to be Central. It used to be the White House.
It makes it so official. But anyway, yeah. Adam Smith fired from two jobs. The University of Arizona is also out. There was another job that he had. They said that he will not be returning to school in the fall. So he lost two jobs out of it. It's unfortunate. The only reason why I say it's unfortunate is because he's got a young family. He's got a wife. I don't know how many kids he has, but I know he has children or a child. And his actions put them in jeopardy, which was stupid on his part. But you don't want to see his family suffer. Well, maybe they should. You're absolutely right, Mary. An LGBT group should give him a job or something like that, and that would probably, you know, get him out of the rut he's in now. But the point is that he's not going to go in there with any bullying sort of tactics now, because now he's been sort of a reformed ass. He's got to be behaving in a better way, because what he did was bully. He bullied a girl. Edward in Connecticut, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, Reece?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Man, I think this guy is just a coward. You know, he has all this, you know, loud talk when he's going up to.
Did we boot him off? Yeah, there you go, Edward. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this guy, Adam Smith, is just a regular coward. You know, he's got a lot of loud talk when he's, you know, bullying a little girl. But then the second he goes to work and he finds out that this shit backfired, stuff backfired, you know, all of a sudden he's got an apology. He's not apologizing for what he said. He's apologizing because he got caught out and fired.
Well, you know, in essence, what he thought was, and again, this is something that I talked about. I talked about it weeks ago. A lot of people remember, but even Ann Coulter echoed what I said on George Stephanopoulos, on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. She echoed it, is that there are a lot of these people in the gay community that think because the media is so eagerly on their side, is so ardently for them, that they believe that they've got free reign to do whatever it is that they want to bully these people. And here it was, he thought he was in a position where he could go there, he can cite all of these bogus claims about how Chick-fil-A pays for hate groups or gives money to hate groups, how do you sleep at night? He could bully her, he'd put it on Facebook, and he'd become a star. And then people saw it, and they were just going, what did you not get? He didn't understand that. Even while he's shooting the video, he's like, I can't believe that there are all of these cars out here supporting Chick-fil-A. That was his first problem. He did not realize that there was a large group of people out there who were supporting the right of free speech. And he went in there, and he was stunned. He couldn't believe it because he had been mesmerized by liberal media who told him, 48% of the people supports gay marriage. Anybody who doesn't is a bigot. He believed that fodder. He believed that statement or that lexicon or zeitgeist, if you will, that was complete false pathos. He believed it. He ran with it. He got in there. He thought, the LGBT community is going to – they're going to cheer me on when I go in there and rip that poor girl apart. But then it backfired on him, and he's sitting up there going, oh, my God. Like, I thought that there were people out there who would cheer me, and he got the wrong response. Of course he's going to apologize now because he looks like a moron. And now he's got to decide on how it is that he's going to go on with his life and whether or not, you know, the myth is true. Ann Coulter said it on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. She said that this is a pathos out there that suggests that more Americans are supportive of gay marriage in this country. The polls are wrong because the Chick-fil-A response on Appreciation Day was a clear, clear sign. And then 2 days later, the kissing, we're talking 100,000 versus less than 10,000 people. If it was so true that the gay and lesbian community were so adorned in society, why didn't it show up on August 3rd? I mean, I think it's a valid question to ask. Why didn't it show up? Why didn't the numbers support those polls? It should have been overwhelming. The numbers, if the numbers were 48% of people approved, there should have been at least 80,000 people out there protesting Chick-fil-A on the 3rd. But they weren't. They didn't even show up. It's disgusting that this guy had to be outed the way that he was. But I'm happy that it happened because now maybe some of these people will actually decide to tone it down a little bit. You know, maybe they'll get it into their head that this isn't the right way to go because the bullying tactic is not going to be stood for anymore. That now people are going to push back. And it is not anti-gay to say that you support traditional marriage. And that narrative is dead. That whole thing is dead. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I can say about it. I mean, what else can you do? But we'll take a break because I got more to get into. I have to talk about this story. I got to talk about Gabby Douglas and the beef with her hair. I don't know what this story is really about. I just know that there are some people who are complaining about the way that she wears her hair and whether or not this is a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal, but they claim that it is. I don't know what to say about it. But this poor girl, 16-year-old, is getting ripped off. Girl wins a gold medal. Wins two gold medals. And she's getting ragged on about her hair. We'll be back.
Gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
And you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. Going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law
is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else, as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. All right, now I'm in a Facebook war with my ex-wife. She writes back, Reese, the posting is mean. It is coherent. It's aimed towards you. And here's the thing. If you haven't seen it on Facebook, let me just read it. So it's a picture of the doctor sort of, you know, rainbow jihad. And the posting simply reads, if you speak up for traditional marriage in this country, beware of retaliation from the new terrorist group. And it's got a picture of two swords crossing each other, two rainbow flags crossing each other in the middle, a disco ball on top, and Studio 54 on either side. And at the bottom, in rainbow, it reads, Rainbow Jihad. So apparently, my ex-wife does not approve. Lock up there. By the way, let me give you a spoiler alert. At the top of the hour, we've got to get into the comedy roast of Roseanne Barr, which is going to air on August 10th, and that's a Saturday, right?
No, it's a Friday.
Is it a Friday? Okay, Friday. Sorry. Friday the 10th.
Which is the same day that the New York Giants play the Jacksonville, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the first preseason game.
Yeah, everybody plays it.
And our one-month anniversary.
Oh, will you stop?
Really?
Give it six at least, will you? Give it six? Anyway, bottom line is, I've got to give some spoilers to that because some of the jokes are so vile. I have to talk about them because they're good.
If
you haven't seen them, if you haven't read it, they are good. They are really, really good. But they definitely bring up the Aurora shooting that took place. So that's some of the jokes that are there, and they're targeted towards Seth Green, who's one of the roasters who's there, by Jeff Ross, who is the roast master in chief. So I'll read a couple of them, and you guys will have to decide on whether or not you think that they're really, really that mean, too soon, inappropriate. I think that they're hilarious. But I got to read them. And now that I've heard these jokes or read some of them, I'm going to have to watch it because I wasn't going to really check it out because of Roseanne Barr. And I didn't really care. But I'm definitely going to check it out now because some of them seem just hilarious. Okay, so on to Gabby Douglas. The young girl from Virginia. She's from Virginia Beach. Is that correct, Mayor?
I believe so.
Yeah, I know she's from Virginia. Okay, so she won 2 gold medals. She's the first African-American female to win the gold, I guess, in those 2 competitions. All around, I think she won the gold in all around. She's the first African-American girl to do so. She's 16 years old. And I think people make comments about her hair. And JC, help.
Fox News is saying here that they don't think Gabby Douglas is patriotic enough.
Well, because she didn't wear an Olympic uniform that had red, white, and blue?
Well, probably.
That's usually the case. A lot of people complain about that. But JC, help me out here. What am I missing in this story with her hair? Are they saying that her hair was too, like, Kizzy?
Listen, they're missing Don Imus' comment about it.
Really? Don Imus had a comment about her hair?
No. He hasn't commented. I think they're waiting on his comment. That's going to be the missing out of this whole story.
What? You think he's going to use the nappy-headed hose comment?
I don't think he'd go that far. But I'm sure they'll be waiting for him to comment on it. I'm not getting it. You know, over the years, they've always, tumble girls, what are they, the gymnasts,
right.
They've always worn the exact same hairstyle. Always the pull back and the tiny ponytail curl under.
Right.
She chose to leave her ponytail bushy nappy.
Yeah, it's sort of
natural.
Like... Yes, it's sort of like bushy, nappy. It's sort of sticking out. It's not really in a bun. It's not well. If I say the word well kept, would that be offensive? It's not really well kept.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, at the gym. You know, it's an at the gym look. You know, but I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, she's got this sort of electrifying smile. She's very happy. She's very religious. Or I don't want to say she's very religious. That might be. She thanks God often, so she appears to be very religious.
Yeah.
She appears to make a lot of references to God. But, you know, she seems like a good enough kid, but she's only 16. She seems as innocent as all hell. Innocent as all get out.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anybody would think that it was okay for it was okay to rag on this girl behind her hair. And who are the people? Because the only people I could see ragging on this young little black girl's hair are Negroes. Like, I know there are no white people out there ragging on her hair, are they? I mean,
I don't know that there's actually enough Negroes that actually watch the Olympics.
So you think white people are ragging on her about her hair? Edward, are you familiar with this controversy with Gabby Douglas's hair? Is Edward not there?
Edward?
Okay, maybe he's on mute. He may have put his down for a little while.
Her hair looks very Michelle Obama-ish.
I would have said if there was anything. I mean, I've seen Malia and Sasha. Gabby Douglas looks more like Michelle Obama than they do. She's got a lot of Michelle Obama's features.
Did you see Michelle's nappy ponytail at the Olympics? She had the same nappy ponytail.
I thought it was the same as well. Maybe
she was paying homage.
Maybe she was paying homage. Mike.
Dude, I'm reading a story on CNN.com written by a professor of Native American and African American Studies at the University of Michigan. And
I
she said that it was all sisters going after Kathy Douglas was there.
It was all sisters.
It was all sisters.
See, I knew it. See, it didn't make any sense. That's a black
saying things
girl.
Like, if I was her mama, I'd have put a headband on that girl. And yeah. Gabby Douglas got to do something with his hair.
I'm telling you, this is a typical black girl sort of rant.
She can't have a weave and do gymnastics, goddamn.
Well, what I don't understand is what the hell does it matter? The girl won 2 gold medals.
Did you not hear my monologue last week about the politics of niggerdom?
I mean,
they don't care about that. It's about appearances. And again, the only thing they're seeing is they're looking at this girl, this young little girl, and it doesn't matter. Criticizing her is not off limits.
They're jealous.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know if it's jealousy. I think it's just sheer, unadulterated hate. It's clear hate. It's clear hate.
Well,
and it's nothing. It's nothing that has to be coherent. It doesn't have to be. Objective in any particular way. This was subjective hate in the sense of going, she didn't look the part being out there. She didn't look presentable. She looked like she just came off the street or out the gym, and she just came in there with her hair undid. And now, of course, this guy, no white person in their right mind is going to go out there and tell a black girl what her hair should look like, because the average white person doesn't know. They're probably sitting up there going, hey, what's the deal with her hair? I was like, oh, maybe it's a style.
It looks pretty normal to them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of black kids in my neighborhood wear their hair like that all the time. The whole time I was watching her, I never once said, what's up with her hair?
When I was watching her, I didn't say anything, but I did look at her
hair. Oh, are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. She needs to relax. I mean, no.
Does she need some Bronner Brothers?
Wait, you said she needs a relaxer.
She's a dark and lovely for kids.
Hey, do you know how a gymnast career and a sentence are the same?
You said
how a gymnast's career and a sentence are the same.
How
and a sentence.
Oh, I don't know.
They both end with a period.
So,
in a conk or something.
Put it in a conk?
Yes, it's a conk.
I think she should grow a big Angela Davis afro. That's what I would do if I was a black woman.
Why not? Go out there.
I would have the huge afro. I would
go
keep a black power fist in it, you name it.
It's sad, but, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't even know how to really, really respond.
Yeah,
so
they crack on her because her hair is not white enough.
Wait, there were black girls saying that her hair wasn't white enough, so it wasn't fried, dyed, and laid to the side? I mean,
apparently it was too kinky and too stiff, and she had too many buckshots in the back. Who knows?
Buckshots.
They call kitchens, Mike.
I know buckshots. I've never heard of kitchens.
Really?
No, that's not familiar to me.
Or BDBs.
BDBs? Yeah, I've heard that one before. But come on, she's just a little black girl. I mean,
she's friggin' malnourished. No wonder her hair looks like crap anyway. She's got no nutrition in her system. Probably her body's trying to eat her hair from within to get some sustenance, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. But what is it? Didn't she have some hairpins in her hair as well? Like she had little things stuck in?
She had a pin down.
She had a pin down, right?
I've chopped this hairdresser all before.
She did have some stuff pinned down. That much I could see in her hair. But again, I didn't see any big thing about it. But, you know, the fact that they would rag on this poor girl, I was stunned. I was just shocked.
It doesn't look bad, man. Jesus, I'm looking at it. She doesn't look any worse than the other girls.
Well, she said, like, she told everybody, I understood she told everybody, like, some of the reporters, she said, you know, look, you know, she's going to wear her hair the way she wants to wear her hair. People just need to get over it. You know, she seemed to have taken it pretty well, but I was concerned.
You know what? You know what that tells me, Reese?
What's that?
That tells me that white people wanted to say something about the hair, but didn't have the heart, and they waited for black folks to say something about it.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't have asked her.
But I thought this was the part that I thought was disheartening and kind of made me sad, because the story reads, Gabby Douglas Googled herself after winning her second gold medal. What did she find? Chatter about her hair. She says, quote, "I don't know where this is coming from. What's wrong with my hair? I'm like, I just made history and people are focusing on my hair. It could be bald or short. It doesn't matter about my hair." And I'm sitting up there going, you know, with the whole thing with bullying and women and self-esteem, or little girls and self-esteem, I just didn't get that, especially from on a world stage like this, that people would ever do that to her. It shows how callous people can be.
Yeah.
You know, even to a little girl. For me, it's just shocking. She also said, I don't think people should be worried about that. We're all champions. We're all winners. I just say that it's kind of a stupid and crazy thought to think about my hair. And she's right.
And she says, you might as well get used to it, because that's how I'm going to wear it on the bar exercises, too.
That's right.
Well, listen, if I was her, I'd get on that cover of that Wheaties box with a full buckwheat.
Yeah. Well, she's already got to deal with Kellogg, so.
I mean, well, the thing is,
she's
okay,
on cornflakes.
She says that she probably doesn't wear her hair like that when she's at home, but when you're sweating like that and you're running and you're doing all this athleticism, you're, you know, doing all this stuff, you sweat and your hair's gonna kink up anyway, even if you do have a relaxer.
For a black girl and her hair is going to be a big ugly mess.
Listen, and her hair was long enough.
That's why they keep their hair up, pinned up like that.
Yeah, but Mary, come on. How long would the girls in the hood been taking socks and putting buns in their head?
Well, I don't think she should. I'm looking at some of the white girls that are here. Their hair is just as, it's got a couple of holes in it. They've got the pins sitting in it, too. You know, her hair's just as long as some of those girls. I don't see anything. I'm missing something. I'm clearly missing something. Maybe it's...
Well, that's what this country's come to.
I don't know.
What did the sisters want her to have? You know, she want to look like Beyonce out there or something?
Apparently. I thought it was just ridiculous. I'm looking at the two Russian girls, like the Russian girl who won bronze. Her hair is
jacked up,
too.
And so is the other chick.
I mean, I'm not saying that the little girl
nobody
looks,
says anything about Michael Phelps looking like a Ferengi from Star Trek The Next Generation.
He damn sure does.
She had a straightener hair.
He looks like a Ferengi.
And then walk into a hot sauna, steam it up, and then take a picture looking like Tracy Chapman. Do it in the fast car.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Tracy?
And if they wanted to rag on her about anything, they should have said how much she looks like a boy.
Well,
how
that
her
would
body
just be mean.
Like she does have that stripe from gremlin, that gremlin look on her face, like she's constipated.
Well, but all of their bodies look like, except for that girl that won bronze, almost all the rest of them look like men.
Well, that girl, the one who won bronze, the skinny Russian one,
she's tiny, she's so petite. But the other girls, they're like muscle bound, they got chests like boys, like they have no titties, they just have nipples on this big, huge,
kind of nipples on a pack.
Nipples on a pack. That's exactly.
That's exactly what they look like. They have is pecs.
All right. Okay. When
I thought they duct tape them down like dykes do.
Oh. When we come back, I got a couple of spoilers from the from these jokes. I want to know from you guys whether or not you think that they're too offensive, because the Aurora shooting joke. Oh, it's so good. Literally, I fell to my knees when I read it. We'll be back. Stick around.
buckle up. It's showtime.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
All right, we're back. I figured I'd play an old top of the hour. It is August the 6th, 2012, 1 minute after the hour right here on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so Comedy Roast of Roseanne happens on this Friday. I think it's at midnight. I don't know, probably even earlier than that, but nonetheless, it's going to be on, and I have to check it out because I heard some of the jokes. And the question is always whether or not a joke is too soon. Whether or not you could crack a joke too soon, whether or not it's too sensitive, we all know the story. We've all been there. But Jeff Ross, roastmaster at the Friars Club, was, of course, on the show that which taped, I believe, yesterday. And some reporters are already leaking out some of the jokes and asking the question about whether or not the jokes are okay. So considering, because I know everyone's probably read the story right now, everybody who's on the line right now, you probably read the story. If you haven't, trust me, look it up. And you can find out, you know, decide for yourself whether or not you think it's insensitive. But one of the jokes that got me, that literally had me on the floor, I was down on my knees, was Jeff Ross talking about Seth Green, who's, you know, redheaded. He, you know, played, what was his name? Scott Evil in the Austin Powers movies. Jeff Ross, in talking about him, said that someone had confused Seth Green with James Holmes, the shooter in the Aurora shootings. But then he said something along the line. I'm trying to find the joke because I'd spent all this time trying to find it, but I'm doing this at the same time. Somebody's going to know what the joke was. But something along the line is that no one could confuse you with him because at least he did something in a movie theater recently that someone remembered. Just something along – or something that – he did something in a movie theater that people will remember. Something along that line. It was just vicious as hell, and I know I'm completely butchering it. But it was awful. There were a bunch of other jokes that were on there. You know, people making, you know, cracking jokes on Chick-fil-A. They also say that, you know, Jeff Ross, if you've seen the pictures, showed up looking like Joe Paterno, wearing a blue jacket with glasses, and came with two adolescent-looking boys with towels wrapped around their waist. So people are saying that it's too soon to make these kinds of jokes. That's the reason why the Friars Club and why these roasts are there, is to make fun of those tragedies. But this whole sense of innocence, it is the thing that I find interesting. Everyone's talking about decorum. Everyone's talking about sensitivity. Everyone's talking about how we gotta, you know, slow down a little bit. Show a little civility. The only people there who they're asking civility from are people who make jokes for a living. and making jokes out of sorrow. But everyone else can be as vicious as they want to and no one complains. Now, I don't want to compare apples to oranges here, but to give a slight example of what I mean is that, you know, I talked about last week about Harry Reid making this account of somebody calling him up in his office saying that Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes in 10 years. Now he's got to, so just accusing somebody of something false and then using the Senate floor to make such an accusation, and not one person has denounced Harry Reid enough to say, look, man, that's just pathetic politics of the worst kind. You know, people keep talking about civility, this whole claim of, you know, James Holmes was a Tea Party member, you know, because we looked up and found a Jim Holmes on a Tea Party site. Gabby Giffords, her shooter was because of hate speech on the radio. Everyone's talking about civility in the world, but there's been absolute viciousness, vile accusations all over the country. You know, Occupy Wall Street, just the crap that they do. Everyone's asking. No one's ever asked for civility when it came to Occupy Wall Street. Not one person asked for civility when it came to Occupy Wall Street. But comedians, people who take tragedy and make it humorous, people who were known for making jokes, who have absolutely no power other than to make you laugh, are being told to tone it down. You know, Daniel Tosh and the rape joke. Which, again, in a comedy club, absolutely appropriate. Anywhere else, inappropriate. But he's in a private comedy club. You don't like it, walk out. What was it just recently? What's the name? Dane Cook. You know, with his Aurora joke. Deemed inappropriate. So, a roast, which is known for being the most vicious and vile joke that you could say to someone, you're sitting in there, and I love the reaction of the crowd. The crowd's like, oh, ooh, oh. It's like, do you know where you are? Like, you know you're here to hear the most vicious and vile joke ever. Strap in. Put your seatbelts on. These people are going for the jugular. It's who can say the most outrageous thing. Just laugh. It doesn't make you a piece of garbage because you laughed at it. You have a genuine feeling for someone who died. That's the case. But at a roast, and somebody's making fun of that, understand your place. You're here at a roast. You've been to these before. Your reason why you're here is because you've been here before, and you came back because you wanted to see how vicious they get this time around. But you just don't want to be that guy caught laughing. Boom! Go out there and have a good time with it. You know, and then, you know, if you have to, if you want to feel better, go out and donate some money to a cause. But don't tell these people to shut up or ask them to be censored for their right to make fun of some of the most vicious things that have happened in the world. I expect it. It's levity. So I don't know if anybody else here heard any of the jokes. Mike, did you get the joke? I know I screwed up the Jeff Ross joke. Did you hear it, though?
Yeah, it's funny. Because Seth Green hasn't had any memorable movies in a long time.
Yes. I thought it was on par.
He does is Robot Chicken on Cartoon Network.
But it was perfect. Well, and he's also a voice on Family Guy. But it's awfully funny because, I mean, the more vicious it could be, of course the funnier it's going to be to me. I just thought, I fell to the ground when I read the joke because I was like, oh, that's just brutal. But it's funny.
It's pretty mild for Jeff Ross.
All things considered, I heard a joke. They had this list on the link. And that's why I was trying to find the link. But they had a link of that gave the top 8 worst jokes of Charlie Sheen's roast. And so I was reading through them, and I, you know, of course I saw some ones that I had already seen because I saw the roast. So I just wanted to hear how they listed the, you know, the least worst to the most worst. One of them that was on there, I didn't realize, was edited from the show. And it was Anthony...
Dezelnik?
Dezelnik, thank you. Anthony Dezelnik said that Charlie Sheen dropped out of school faster than Casey Anthony's kid.
Wow.
I completely fell out. I was like, no. I was like, no wonder they edited that one. But having read it for the first time, you didn't even know that joke. And I'm sitting there going, that's, you know, that's the whole idea, to be as vicious as you possibly can. Yes, it's going to be at the expense of others, but lighten up a little bit. I mean, I've seen these.
Holy crap.
You know, when William Shatner did the Charlie Sheen roast, I thought he was brilliant because, one, you don't expect William Shatner to ever be racist, right, in any way mm-hmm. whatsoever. But he delivered a great roast, especially when he said, you know, talking about being being a pioneer or a rock star of some sort. But I think he along the lines of saying he was the first person on television to kiss a black girl. And then he said, oh, hell, I let an Asian drive. Which I thought was brilliant. And that's the whole idea. It's like you sit there and you listen to that and you go, all right, you don't expect – that's what makes it more, I guess, funnier is because you don't expect William Shatner to do that. Another great joke I heard was from what's that kid? Steve-O. Steve-O cracked the joke because his whole set was horrible. Steve-O said that Charlie Sheen is the only actor who's in a rush to reach rock bottom. And the only reason why is because he thinks there's a rock there. These are great jokes. These are great. The idea is to be vicious. You know, and I'm stunned by the reaction to it because everybody keeps saying too soon. No, it's never too soon.
That was a Whitney Houston joke.
What's that?
That was a Whitney Houston joke.
Was that a Whitney Houston joke?
And what would effect?
Absolutely. That's what I also find amazing. No one's cracked a Whitney Houston joke. But wait, there hasn't been a roast since her passing, right?
Yeah.
So that would probably, all right, that would make sense. There's got to be, I mean, you got to throw one in there. I mean, what do you think the celebrity roast of Bobby Brown's going to be? Because they've got to do it.
Does he qualify as a celebrity?
Yes, of
course.
Yeah,
he does.
Come on, if they can do the celebrity roast of Flavor Flav, Bobby Brown's got to get in there.
You're bubbling too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like Aquaman.
Yeah.
I was saying, if Flavor Flav can get a celebrity roast, then you got to give one to Bobby Brown.
Dude, how did Flavor Flav, by the way, go from being the hype man in the most political rap group of all time to basically just an embarrassing coon?
Very simple.
What the hell? Is it just the rocks?
That surreal life thing took off in ways that nobody expected.
No.
When he showed up on the Surreal Life, that literally, he was the most talked about person on television when that show came out. And
you know what?
He
really wasn't talked about on that show until he slapped Brigitte Nielsen back when she slapped him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like when The Soup was one of those shows that was promoting what was going on there, and there were a lot of like celebrity buzz pieces about Flavor Flav and Brigitte Nielsen about how awkward they were. You know, you got this little black guy, this tall white woman, and it was so awkward. It was a train wreck. You know, people rubberneck on everything. They were such an odd couple. Nobody else in the show was being paid attention to but these two. The fact that VH1 even took it and then broadened it into their own show and people were watching that. It was like, that was even more bizarre. And it just spawned off. How long was his career after that? I think we're talking Surreal Life, then the Flav and Bridget.
And Two Flavor Loves.
to, like, how many seasons of Flavor of Love?
Two.
That, and Flavor of Love was the biggest thing on television in basic cable.
And just to finish it out, you know, he has a fried chain of fried chicken restaurants.
I heard what it just closed.
Yeah, Flavor Flav's Chicken.
Why would he go? I just don't understand why he would go into chicken.
Good God, man. Wasn't that in that movie Undercover Brother where the man brainwashed Billy Dee Williams into, like, hyping chicken?
He's a Colin Powell type character. And they think he's going to run for president, and they believe that he's a perfect candidate to run for president, and they brainwash him, and he makes an announcement that he's opening up General's Fried Chicken. That was classic.
Here's a quote from Flavor Flav. He says, "My chicken ain't no joke. I ain't scared to go up against the Colonel taste-wise." And in a YouTube video of him frying chicken with his hat on sideways. Dude,
I ain't afraid to go up against the Colonel.
Yeah. You're going to find me here in the kitchen working. You're going to catch me seasoning my chicken, flouring my chicken, frying my chicken, and serving chicken to people. You know, you ever think you're just in the Matrix?
Yeah, it's official now.
Good God, man.
He is absolutely scary.
It's crazy. You know, I don't mean to cut you off, but it seems like a lot of black celebrities are opening chicken shacks.
You know, you got Snoop Dogg endorsing fruit-flavored malt liquor.
I still have not seen this. Can you please send me the link?
Yeah, I'll find it. Colt 45 Boost.
Colt 45 Boost.
Boost.
Now,
it's like,
you know what
I think they're trying to compete with, like, Four Loko, except they've made it really ghetto.
But remember back
Colt
in the day. 45
Blast. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Blast.
Remember when St. Ives had that fruit drink? That fruit beverage?
Method Man. I missed that one.
Ice Cube, Method Man, Red Man. They were all promoting it back in the days. I think there were a couple of members of Wu-Tang Clan that had an advertisement for it. It was the St. Ives malt liquor juice kind of deal. It was the same deal. It's the same thing.
Was that the one where, like, Ice Cube had a rap where he said St. Ives malt liquor makes you Jimmy thicker?
Yeah.
You know.
That's the one. One in the same, my friend.
You know, how am I not supposed to think that shit's funny? I mean, you would call me a racist for laughing at it, but that's pretty damn funny.
It is absolutely hilarious. Oh, it's the worst ever. Anyway, okay, when we get back, I got to get into this. Apparently, look, entrepreneurs are great, folks. But when you hear what two thugs decided to do for a reality show, I'm sorry when I say this, but this was actually a good idea. Ill-conceived, but it was actually a good idea. They just went about it the wrong way. When we get back, I'll break it down. It's Reese on the Radio. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we get in.
I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Rezoner Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Rezoner Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward in the state of our union history.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Rezoner Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it. L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Flavors here are strawberry lemonade, which is described as sassy ass strawberry gets her squeeze on with that pimp lemonade for a booty knocking VIP party. Blueberry pomegranate, sweet little blueberry takes a dippity dip in the pomegranate pool for a flavor so bright. Y'all better find shade. Fruit punch. Oh, just plain old fruit punch. Fruit punch bringing the funk. So fruity, it'll make you want to shake that booty. You heard? And, of course, last but not least, raspberry watermelon. Because they've got to have watermelon. Who spiked the juice with fruit? That's raspberry rolling in on the party with watermelon causing chaos. Pour some drink. Oh, God's sake. And you're not supposed to laugh at this. How can you not? Thank you, Mike, for that. Let me click save. Make sure that stays there. It's absolutely awful. Anyway. All right. So this story that I heard comes out of Indiana, Pennsylvania. Police have charged two out-of-state men with robbing two other men in western Pennsylvania by claiming they were recording a video for a reality TV show called You Just Got Robbed. Police in Indiana, Pennsylvania tell the Associated Press that the incident happened at about 1:20 a.m. and that the suspects apparently attend a nearby technical school. They're identified as 21-year-old Ronald Smith from Temple Hill, Maryland, and 18-year-old Artie Goodwin of Memphis, Tennessee. Police say one of the men put the victim into headlocks. Police say one of the men put the victims into headlocks while the other recorded the robbery, in which $20 was taken from one of the victims on a cell phone. Online court records don't list attorneys for the men. Smith has posted bail, but Goodwin remained in Indiana County Jail on Monday, about 45 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. Now, the fact that these morons recorded it, it's in and of itself ridiculous. But I'm going to have to give them an A for effort. Because I can see this as a reality show. Am I out of my mind? This is an interesting idea.
That's the Shark Tank Hood version.
That's pretty damn creative, I have to say.
You can't deny that it's creative.
To me, it just sounds like World Star Hip Hop on a reality show.
What? Can you imagine that? It's like a version of Cheaters with Punk'd on the side. Like after the dude takes your money, then the dude gets up in your face. Like after he knocks you out, and says, "You just got robbed, sucker." And then they run off. It's like Billy is an unsuspecting grad student. We're gonna run up behind him and rabbit punch him in the back of the head and take all of his chemicals, or take all of his biology books and his iPad. I mean, come on. Don't tell me that somebody is not going to turn this into a show.
Hey, there's room for anything, man. I mean, everybody has a TV show now.
That's exactly my premise. I'm finding out reality shows for some of the most bizarre things. I mean, I understand that we've got hundreds of channels and we got to fill it with programming. But some of the things that I'm seeing on these reality shows, I mean, look, I got to cut. I got to do something.
I'll tell you, though, man, the two funniest shows on TV are both reality shows, and they're both on True TV. I'll tell you what they are. The first one is Bait Car.
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen Bait Car?
Love it.
Yes, I have. I've seen one episode of Bait
Car. Crap. Bait Car should just be called Watch These Stupid Negroes Try to Steal This Car.
Hey, Mike, let me try to guess the second one.
Okay.
Hardcore Porn.
Oh, you nailed it.
Really?
Oh, my God. Hardcore Porn is set in a pawn shop in Detroit owned by a bunch of really sleazy Jewish people, and all they deal with is really ghetto-tastic Detroit Negroes. But
really?
It's the funniest thing on TV.
Now, if you haven't seen it, you've got to watch this show.
Okay, you're telling me that, like, is the stuff that they pawn, is it ridiculous? Like, are people walking in with,
no,
like...
No. It's not like that one in Vegas where it's actually about the pawning. This is about the behavior of the customers.
Right.
Where they'll come in with some...
You're going to give me
$400 for this watch. $400,
I'll kick
your
ass.
Reese?
Yes?
You have somebody that walk in, looks like Aunt Esther trying to pawn a vacuum cleaner hose and demanding money.
Yeah, she tells the pawnbroker how much money he's going to give her. You'll give me $500 for this laptop.
Mm. And she's not leaving until she gets it.
And they sit down and, I ain't leaving till you pay me. And then out comes a 7-foot-tall security bouncer. He's like, you better leave. Oh, it's hilarious.
This is more or less a character study as opposed to actual pawn and, like,
right.
like financial.
Yeah, the pawning is secondary to the actual drama.
Really?
It's great. I think Bait Car is funnier just because you know what they're going to do, and they all say the same thing. It's like, you think that's a bait car? It's like, no, stupid. It's a Toyota Camry in the hood with the keys in and the door open. You think it might be a bait car? And they always get in, and you watch them fight over who's going to drive. It's like, no, nigga, you drive. Like, you're both in the car, stupid. You're both going to get arrested for car theft. Doesn't matter who's driving. But they don't seem to understand that. And it's, I'm going to drive with the door open in case it's a bait car. I can jump out.
And the excuse as to why they're in the car is always the same. I was just moving it.
Yeah, this guy told me to move it for him. One guy. That brother right there. You mean Officer Johnson?
Officer Johnson.
Oh, it's great. You know, I watch Bait Car and Hardcore Pawn, and it's better than a Farrelly Brothers movie.
So, and I'm looking at some of this now. I'm looking at an episode. Let me see. I'm looking at it. The title is Life After Death. With Ashley gone, the business is picking up, or at least that's what Seth thinks. A disagreement over a customer's loan erupts into a battle. Later, Les longs to bring Ashley back into the business, but Seth will have none of it.
Oh, yeah. And they have the family drama, but it's all just secondary to the freakouts of the customers. It's great.
So now the family is Jewish. They're in now what part of Detroit are they on? And they're like in Flint, Michigan, or like what
apparently
part?
Apparently they're in a bad part of Detroit. Apparently.
We're like 8 Mile.
Yeah, like 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Like in the neighborhood.
All right, I'm just gonna watch an episode of it tonight because
you're gonna love it.
Oh, it's great.
Now, Bait Car, I've seen enough of, but the reason why I got sort of sick of Bait Car, because I was kind of saying, like, it was always the same thing over and over again. The cops pull them over. You know, it's nothing, like, they don't change their tactics. You know, pretty much it's like picking candy from a baby as far as the rest.
It seems like a pretty easy gig for the cops. And, you know, and I think the cops are being nice because they're not putting, like, pimped out cars in the hood that really pimp them. They're putting beige Camrys, and they still steal it.
Yeah.
But I thought the Toyota Camry was the most stolen car in America.
I think that's the parts. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Down in Atlanta, sometimes they don't stick out a white, what's the Cadillac truck? Escalade.
Oh, Escalade? Oh, God, man, that's not fair at all.
No.
Yeah, that's...
That's like shooting deer in a baited field. That's not fair.
well, I may as well put
some Colt 45 boost on the front seat.
Yeah, but that's the question. How are they baiting these guys? Are they leaving the keys in the car?
Yeah
they leave the keys in the car and the door open.
And the door open.
That's it?
Yeah.
And depending on where it is, sometimes they leave the car running.
And they just jump on it, man. I saw one where the guy was pretending to be a mascot, like wearing a big, like, frog costume or something.
Right.
And he's getting out of the car, and the car thief walks right past him and takes the car.
Oh, wow, these guys are crazy.
When he's standing right there. And he's like, no, I didn't steal this car. That dude told me to move it.
As soon as they get in the car, the shit that they talk is crazy. They talk about what they're going to do with it, what they're going to sell it, where they're going.
They're calling
you're
their
idiot
phone.
That can't drive will jump in the car.
It really doesn't matter what car you put out there. You can put a Ford Pinto out there, and these dumbass niggas will jump into it and drive off.
Here's my question. Now, do they normally just catch guys? Because I didn't get the impression there were a lot of girls stealing cars.
Yeah,
they catch everything.
Yeah.
They catch guys, girls, couples.
I saw one where
LA, they get the Mexicans that steal the cars.
There's one where these girls looked at the bait car, and they rooted around it and found a wig in the back seat. They didn't steal the car, but they stole the wig.
Are you kidding me?
The cops pulled them over and busted them for stealing the wig and took them to jail.
And I've seen a show sometimes where they would actually put a laptop on the seat.
Well, yeah, you know they're going to jump to that.
Yeah.
Laptops are big in the hood. As far as, you know, trying to steal, that's absolutely ridiculous.
I thought you were going to say Parking Wars. I love that.
Haven't seen that one.
No, I didn't. But that's my whole thing. It's like it doesn't matter what the genre is, what the job is. Everybody's got a reality show. I saw some show about a Bronx, like Bronx auto parts store. It's like some guy in the Bronx who sells auto parts?
Not me.
No,
there's one coming out called Combat Pawn, where it's a bunch of former soldiers, I guess, who run a pawn shop and sell guns. So, you know, anything is possible, man.
These names are just... I'm looking at one now. What is this? Yeah, Hard Parts. That's another one I've seen. I don't understand. Just make a reality show about anything. There's just no. I mean, I understand the whole thing. You got all these channels, and you got to fill them up with some sort of thing. Do you watch this show, Hoarding?
I hate Hoarders. Yeah.
Yes, I
hate it.
I watch it frequently.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Hoarding show?
It's sad.
Is it? Yeah. I
you know what's awesome?
What's that?
Monster-in-Laws.
That's a show?
Yes,
on A&E.
Monster-in-Laws?
Yes.
I mean, come on, they have the show about the reality show about the little princess girl from That lives in like a trailer park or something.
Isn't
The Honey Boo Boo Child.
Honey Boo Boo Child.
Yeah, kind of embarrassing, I gotta say. Sorry about that.
I watched something. I caught one on Hulu that I've never seen on regular TV called Hollywood Husbands.
I've seen that.
The husbands of the wives who are celebrities or actresses or have some high-profile job in L.A.
Did you ever see My Strange Addiction?
Yes.
I saw one where this woman was eating her sofa. She was addicted to eating sofa cushions.
Yes, I saw that. And what was the other one where the woman was licking ashtrays, or there was another one where she was...
Oh, My Strange Addiction.
Yes.
They're eating dryer sheets.
Dryer sheets.
This one lady was, she had an empty water bottle full of gas that she carried around with her, and she sniffed it all day long, and it was literally eating her brain from the inside out.
Oh. Don't get me wrong. I can go past a laundromat or a dry cleaning place, and you get that smell of, like, fresh laundry, you know, and you kind of go, oh, you know, it smells good. But I couldn't imagine keeping that scent around for me to be breathing in all day. I mean,
huffing. She was eating dryer sheets, eating them. And the other lady was carrying around gasoline that you put in a car, and sniffing it.
That's just...
Well, none of you guys have seen the worst one.
What's the worst?
This woman would drink urine.
Oh, I heard about that. I didn't see it, but I heard about it. Oh,
wow.
And what about the one, what about the other chick that was eating her husband's ashes?
Yes, that was the one I was thinking of.
Yes, she was eating her husband's ashes. And she was getting scared because they were almost all gone.
Kill another husband, apparently.
Well, she didn't kill her
husband.
What else should you do? I'm running out of my first husband's ashes. You tell the next guy, want to get married, he's going to look at her a whole new way. Nah, that's okay. Let's just date. I don't think so.
There was
so.
One on TLC at one point, too, that came on for a while called One Born Every Minute.
Uh-huh.
And that one had a lot of black folks that fought on it for no reason.
I'm just looking at some of these things. That girl from, what's the 3LW, Adrian Bylon.
Yeah.
She's got a show with the former BET host or whatever. It doesn't matter who these people are. These people are absolutely insignificant. And they've all got a reality show. I'm sitting up here going,
Reese.
Look, I got to get one.
Hey, Reese.
They're hitting this stuff out like candy.
Yeah, Derek, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Derek?
Hey, y'all do realize that the majority of these reality shows are staged, right?
I know that they're staged, but my bottom line is that everyone seems to have one.
Yeah, because I was going to be like, you realize dogs bounty hunts are staged.
Do you think Hoarders is staged? Do you think My Strange Addiction is staged?
Let's face it, if you expect these people to make it to, like, season 3, trust me, it gets staged after a while. I'm not saying everything is staged, but, you know, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, do you expect their realities really to be like that, you know?
Yeah.
Repo, that's staged.
What'd you say, what stage?
The Repo Show.
Now, I'm not going to lie. If that Repo Show is staged, I like it still because I love it. I love that Repo Show.
I think after the first season, when a Michael Jackson psychotic lunatic kicked the other guy in the ass over that DeLorean because he was stuck in the 80s, I think from there on it was staged.
But I still like that. I like that. I like that Repo thing, man. That Repo Show is pretty funny.
Are you talking about the Spanish people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're kidding me. The dude up the tough guy, man. He's gotten his butt whipped so many times on that show.
Yeah, he's taking his ass whipped.
They've admitted that those are.
You know, there's two towing company shows now.
What's that?
There's two shows about towing, and I think they're both like Miami Towing. There's Lizard Lick Towing. It's just, you know, they go tow cars, and I think it's totally fake and bogus.
Yeah, they've admitted those are recreations.
that's my industry, and nothing that ever goes down like that in a towing world. The most excitement you really get is if you are true repo, and then you got to worry about getting shot at night when you're going back to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to see them try to repo like some like Hell's Angels motorcycles and stuff like that.
No, but wait a minute. There was a show. You guys will probably know this show. There's this guy. It's a relatively new show. It was started this season. But he's a guy who, I know it's him. He's bald-headed. He's got a woman, and he's got another man with him. And they go to deal with, it's sort of like a property issue. Like if someone is renting a house from a landlord or whatever, and if there's an issue with the house, this guy goes in, and he's got to either evict them or something along that line. Or he's got to go in there and sort of approach them about some behavior that's going on. In one episode I watched, there was this guy where the neighbor said that he was in the backyard shooting off like AR-15s, AK-57s and stuff like that. And he shows up at the guy's house to first ask him about it. And the guy says, no, there's no guns here. You know, we got one shotgun, whatever it is. So then they return to the house when they get another complaint. And when they get there, the guys are in the back shooting off machine guns. So the guy, obviously he has a license to carry, he and his two partners, they all pull out their weapons, and all you see them screaming at each other, put the guns down, put the guns, and the guys who are in the house, they're pointing the guns right back at the guys and going, you put your guns down. It's like that standoff in the final scene of True Romance, when they're like, you put your guns down. And they're looking at each other, and literally the cops have to come in before, to finally subdue the tenants. But I don't know exactly what the name of the show is, but the guy is some sort of like, I don't know, he's not like a repo guy, but apparently he comes to evict people from homes. You've never seen this one?
No.
I've seen the repo guy that gives you three quiz,
for your car. Yeah, I saw that one.
Wait, he gives you three trivia questions to keep your car?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
what show is this one?
I forget. I only watched it two or three times. But it's like
that comes on TLC.
Yeah, you see some of these people miss these simple questions. They're like, wow, you know.
Is it repo people?
No, repo quiz or something like that.
Yeah, apparently the guy makes you answer three quiz questions, and if you get them right, you get to keep your car.
Yeah, it's like when you miss a question,
you don't get to keep it. He'll pay it off for you.
Oh, if you get it right, he'll pay it off for you.
He'll pay it off, yeah.
Oh, that's even better. So he's got to be dealing with the real class act on these ones, like real freaking Renaissance men on these questions, right? Is he asking like, what's the capital?
You know, one of the most ghetto people ask him the easiest questions, and they get it wrong.
Yeah, he'd be like, wow, man.
And give him
that's
a fight.
That.
You know what's crazy? Paid. They're usually pop culture questions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's got to be staged, man. Because, I mean, some of these things, I'm like, you got to be brain dead not to. I mean, you just don't watch
up, Yeah,
no
you
TV.
Couldn't run up on me with those questions. I just sat home broke.
Yeah.
Oh, they all sound great. I'm telling you, I've got to get in the reality show game, man. I don't know how much money these guys make, but I got to get into the game. They're apparently giving out TV shows for freaking, like, candy.
Yeah.
They're giving them out like
idea.
Did you guys hear about this story in New Jersey? Apparently, the man was standing outside of a Home Depot wearing a bulletproof vest, elbow and arm pads, and a cape, and carrying handcuffs. He was arrested outside of a Home Depot because it turns out that he was dressed like a superhero. And he said he was standing outside of the New Jersey Home Depot in Mansfield Township, New Jersey, because he was trying to give people hope. His exact... Oh,
yeah,
wait.
I think the cops overreacted, man.
You saw the...
Yeah, no law says you can't wear all that stuff in that combination. The dude didn't have a gun.
Well, he had black makeup. He had black makeup on his face.
He might have taken it a bit far.
Yeah.
He had been doing it for months, though.
That's what it's. That's the part that bothered me. He had been doing it for months, and no one had called it. So it had to be someone who had never seen him before. His lawyer says his entire intention was to be someone to help people. He says we may not necessarily take that road. His intentions were all good. His intentions were pure. I think the police seized this opportunity, and I think it was a classic case of overkill. And they ended up arresting him. He's out on bail, but people said that the timing was unfortunate because he believes that people saw him and immediately associated him with James Holmes, of course, the Aurora shooter, and people thought that he was some sort of whack job that might be out to hurt people.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of the cape, I have all that stuff. I mean, damn, who doesn't have handcuffs?
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I was looking at the picture. He kind of looks like, I mean, he's not a hulking figure, but he looks a little suspicious to me, dude.
I just haven't talked to your wife. I'd imagine she has handcuffs somewhere, dude.
After what's gone on over the last few weeks, you know, people are going to be a little leery, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Well, you know, it's up to the cops when they hear these descriptions come over the dispatcher to decide whether this is a legitimate complaint or whether it's not. The guy didn't have any weapons. He wasn't threatening anybody. You know, you tell a person who calls, you know, he's doing nothing that's illegal. What the hell? You know, there are people all over the country, you know, it's silly to a lot of us, but they dress up like a superhero and they, you know, go about the neighborhoods helping old ladies across the street, you know, giving little kids candy and stuff like that. They're not harming anybody. Why should this guy be arrested because he's following that same type of path? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, are they trying to demonize having a bulletproof vest? I mean, I kind of think that if you don't have a bulletproof vest and you live in some parts of the country, you might be stupid.
Yeah, but is that, I mean, I understand. In New York, if you have a bulletproof vest, it's a felony.
Damn, you can't carry a gun, and you can't carry a bulletproof vest either?
No, it's a felony. I remember years ago, Tretch from Naughty by Nature was pulled over, and because he had a bulletproof vest, he got a felony for it.
Yeah, it's illegal. You can't have one.
Wow.
You can sure have them down here.
Really?
I have one.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I got it off eBay, man. $50.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, they're really inexpensive.
How good of a vest is that, Mike?
It's a concealable Kevlar vest. I mean, until it gets shot, the things are fine.
Now, is it a Kevlar vest that only covers, like, it has that plate over the heart, or?
It has Kevlar front and back, but it's the one you wear under your clothes.
Right.
I have a pouch for a plate, but I don't have a plate in it. I'm not afraid of getting shot with a rifle.
Shoot, you need to get that plate, man. I've seen cops get shot and they start crying. I wear that plate in my chest. Yeah,
yeah, but those plates aren't as big as they used to be.
No, I mean, but you know, I just figure, you know, I mean, the Kevlar's supposedly going to stop the bullet. I just don't want that. Like I said, I've seen a cop get shot by one and this man was crying.
Oh, yeah, it hurts. It's like
you know,
getting
hit
with a
hammer. So I figure if I get shot in the chest, you know, hey, shoot. Imagine this from girls nearby.
Way to keep it in perspective, Derek.
Yeah, I just got on eBay and I looked at body armor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's only 1,570 listings for body armor on eBay.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap to get some body armor nowadays.
Yeah, but have we really come to the state today, guys, where more and more people should start buying body armor? Do you believe that the violence has escalated so much that that's what we need to do?
First of all, we've come to a state where they're selling kits for the zombie apocalypse for $24,000.
Oh.
Yeah, hey, man, if you worked at 7-Eleven on the midnight shifts, would you want to wear one?
I agree.
Very true. Very true. The one I gotta get the nut protector, man. You know, that's what I worry about. You know, so they get a shootout, man. Somebody shoots you in the nuts, you be like, damn, you know.
If these gun control nuts don't want ordinary law-abiding citizens to carry guns, then the only thing left for us to do is throw on as much armor as possible.
Agree.
Yeah.
I kind of agree. I mean, what's the last resort?
Yeah.
If I were in Chicago right now, that would be my next investment.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
that's
relatively cheap. You're talking about $150. You have you some decent. You can have you some decent used body armor. You know what I mean? Something that's like 5 or 6 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
$150.
At this particular point, I would have to say that. I was reading this thing about this. They say one man is in critical condition after a woman opened fire on a crowd leaving a midnight cruise on the Detroit Princess riverboat.
Yeah.
It said they're still searching for the woman who apparently the shooting took place at 1:15 a.m. in the morning. The altercation apparently began as an argument aboard the boat. Radio 1's Detroit station, Hot 107.5, which plays hip-hop and rap, was hosting the on-deck Sunday Moonlight Cruise. The event is touted on the boat's Facebook page as a nightclub atmosphere on a cruise from 10:30 to 12:30. Who wants to do that? The Detroit Princess also provides a DJ for the cruise, playing softer music on the boat's top deck. It looks like a group of people were getting into some kind of a fight. But for a woman to return and start firing?
No.
It was a hip-hop cruise in Detroit, man. You can't be surprised.
You know what? No,
there was only one person shooting.
They sitting over here saying a woman. I was watching True Blood the other night, and the Grand Dragon was a woman, you know? every roles are reversing. Huh?
Yeah,
I was reading something about Detroit, and I guess Detroit, their infrastructure is falling apart, and their water system has been popped by the feds for the past 7 years because it leaks too much groundwater. And their complaint from the people in Detroit is, we don't have the population to, you know, have the tax base to pay for repairing this stuff. And then they got mad at white people. They were like, all right, we're pissed off that white people left Detroit and stuck us with the city. It's like, if you hadn't had riots in 1967 and scared the shit out of people, they might have stayed around and paid their taxes.
Well, you know, I think that's legitimate if they're mad at the liberal white people who put all those stupid policies in place and then ran out the place once the policies backfired. You know, they should be mad.
They sure don't have a real economy.
It's funny, if you look at the little suburban towns around Detroit, they're all fine. The white folks went and built new little towns, and they live there, and there's no problem at all. But Detroit proper is a hellhole.
Remember what they said, Mike. They said that by saving General Motors, that Detroit was going to come back because they didn't want Detroit to go under. And nothing has changed. It's gotten worse. You know what the one thing I've been always asking? Weren't they supposed to take like 10,000 acres of the area surrounding Detroit, mow down all the abandoned houses and turn it into agriculture?
Yeah, but I don't think they have the money to do it.
They probably don't.
Smoke. Well, there was some plan where I heard they were going to try to recruit artists to come to Detroit. They were going to give them, you know, $100 houses in Flint, Michigan, and they wanted to develop a burgeoning artist community. But you can't bring stupid liberal white artists and put them in the middle of Flint, Michigan.
No, exactly.
They're going to die. They won't last a week.
What are they going to do for work?
Yes, besides catch bullets.
I actually think it's a great idea. Bring those dumb liberal artists to the middle of Michigan and give them 2 weeks. They will become libertarians or conservatives.
What they should do is they should recruit rednecks. They should offer rednecks free houses in Flint. And then the problem will get solved in about 2 weeks. You know, you have to advertise during NASCAR races and stuff. You know, hey, do you want a free house in Detroit? Come on up. Bring your gun. And they'll fix that shit in about 2 weeks.
Break your gun and your body armor.
Yeah, it's going to be – I feel bad for Detroit. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I believe that place is going to be a wasteland in 10 years.
It already
is. Oh, yeah.
In 10 years?
Well, it's bad now, but when I say wasteland, I'm talking ghost town here, Edward. Ghost town.
Someone's got to be done with that place. It wasn't a major city. You know?
The only question is which is the one after Detroit that falls.
No,
who's next?
I'm talking about Ghost Town a la Stand by Stephen King.
Captain Chris.
You know, the sad thing is, if it wasn't for tourism and the weather, I'd be scared what would happen to Orlando.
You're probably right.
Huh? I'm serious.
Atlanta is not too far behind the falling apart curve either. Atlanta's steadily going downhill.
Yeah, it's a lot of vacancies in that ladder.
Birmingham, Alabama is a shithole now, pardon my language.
That's all right. Yeah, they're all going straight to hell in a handbasket. It's sad, but true.
Well, you know what I mean? It's going to sound bad, but there's a magic number of African-American population that you can have in your city before white people start to leave. And I think it's about 30%.
Huh.
I think once you get over 30%, white people leave, and then the city falls apart.
Is that if you ever want to get rid of... Yeah, exactly. I happen to agree. If you ever want to completely destroy a neighborhood, yeah, you got to have the white people move out of it. Hey, the only booming... I haven't seen this yet, Derek, but you're probably going to agree with me. Do you want to know why South Jamaica... Not South Jamaica, Queens, I apologize. Why Cambria Heights and Queens Village is still surviving?
Why?
Indians.
Indians.
Think about it.
Indians.
That neighborhood, your old neighborhood where you grew up, is the only neighborhood that went from white to black to Indian. And those neighborhoods are still standing to this day. Think about your house, Jamie's house. Think about all the houses that all of our friends and our family had. They're now old. If not most of them, all of them are bought by somebody from Pakistan or from Dubai.
I'll have to make a phone call on that one.
Dude, trust me. If you go to Jamaica Avenue today and go over to by Jamaica Queens and Hollis Queens, literally, it looks like Dubai.
We were just there.
We were just there. It looks like Dubai. The Indians have taken over that neighborhood, and they're still thriving. Houses are still there. They've all got bars in their windows, but they're still there.
And gates in front of their houses.
I have to give Greg a call. Well,
trust me. He'll agree. That's the only reason why those communities are still there.
Guys, they come in, pay their bills, pay their taxes, and don't cause any trouble.
That's it.
Just the whole neighborhood smells like curry is the only thing.
That is the other part.
Butter chicken is the best.
That's our show for today, guys. As usual, thank you, gentlemen, for being a part of the show. Edward in Connecticut, Mike in Florida, and Derek, the bounty hunter in Florida. JC, the producer, and Mary, why are you bugging on Reese on the radio? We will be back tomorrow. More news, more views, and I don't know. Maybe we'll get a word from my lawyer tomorrow.
Hopefully.
But we'll let you know.
1 week from tomorrow.
Back to court. We'll see you.